What's up, Canes fans? Peter Ariz here, bringing you today's edition of Canes Insight Daily. Once again, filling in for D-Money this week as he's out on vacation with the family. But we have a loaded show for you today as we continue with our partnership with Canes Connection. Have an interview with Raul Popo Aguirre today. Great talking with him, the sophomore linebacker at the University of Miami. Again, interview in conjunction with Canes Connection. You can go to their website, canesconnection.com, to sign up, become a member, where we have our special deal going on with the promo code CIS, as you can choose anywhere from $25 to $1,000 a month. Promo code CIS gets you 20% off your monthly membership. No better way to support the student athletes at the University of Miami than with Canes Connection, the official NIL partner of the University of Miami. So Popo Aguirre, excited about him. Big hitter, physical, and we saw flashes of it last year, but now getting an opportunity with the ones here during spring. And I think he's in for a big breakout season for sure. It's a loaded linebacker room, but excited to get to talk to him. Before that, though, going to have Nick Echevarria, also known as West End Zone, one of the best contributors on Canes Insight. Always very knowledgeable. Been on this show plenty of times already. And we get into Lance Guidry's scheme, as we always do with him. Nick had an opportunity to recently attend a Chalk Talk at Miami, which is essentially a coach's seminar. So he kind of gives some insight, as he always does, on this Guidry scheme. It's a very, I don't want to say complex, but it's complex for the opposing side to figure out, because he can mask a lot of things in his scheme. So remember, like this video, subscribe to the channel, Canes Insight. We're bringing you these shows every day. You can't get this information anywhere else. So like, subscribe, don't miss any episodes, and sign up for free on canesinsight.com to check out the forums and the articles. We have all this content in written form as well. So keep it locked there as we're getting into a very hot time of year with spring practice and then recruiting about to pick up as well. Coming up next here on the Canes Insight Daily podcast, we have Nick Echevarria. And then after that, Hurricanes linebacker Raul Popo Aguirre.
What's up, everybody? This is D-Money with the Canes Insight Daily podcast. Want to tell you about our good friends at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. If you've been in a crash, someone you care about's been in a crash, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Don't go with a rookie. Go with somebody who knows the process, who has experts at every single stage of the process, who will treat you like family, who will make sure that you're protected, taken care of. Don't have to worry about anything except for getting the finest legal care and having your case handled by the absolute best. Take back control of your life. 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Also want to talk about my friends at Caneswear. You can go to the store at Davie, Football Heaven, or caneswear.com if you're not local. Get the absolute best in Miami Hurricanes gear, Miami Dolphins gear, Inter Miami, Florida Panthers, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins. You name it, they have it. Absolute best when it comes to Miami sports fans, merchandise, and the best staff in the business. Ask anybody, they'll tell you. But if you're not lucky enough to go to the store, go to caneswear.com. Everything is available there, the spot where Miami fans shop.
All right, Canes fans, very excited to be joined right now by Nick Echevarria, also known as West End Zone on Canes Insight, one of the best contributors on the site, obviously has come on here multiple times. Usually talking defense, right, Nick? That's the specialty for you. That's the side of the ball you've coached. I know you played at the collegiate level and, you know, looking to get back into the coaching, circle somewhat, right? So excited to have you on here. I know you got to attend the recent Chalk Talk at Miami. And obviously, like I said, one of the most knowledgeable posters on Canes Insight. So excited to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get back into this. I played college football, coach for a while, and then I kind of gave up the dream. Went to law school, started my own law firm. Which I'm here right now, taking a little break from my regular day. Got to attend the Chalk Talk, and it kind of got I'm not here to give away secrets or like things like that. It's more of like a general conversation about defense and how I observe Guidry's philosophy sort of working. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about sort of, that sort of old conversation you see on the message board so often, like, oh, are we a base 4-3? Are we a base this? Are we a base that? And it's kind of like a question that doesn't have like a clear answer, right? And, I was putting together some notes today and kind of looking back, you know, like at our old game film, and got a chance to talk to Coach Guidry for a little while to kind of like understand the philosophy. And what I observe, I'm not going to, you know, this is not what he told me, but, you know, I personally believe, right, that like yes, on paper, we are a 4-3 base, right? It's just, you know, Sam, Mike, Will, you know, as a three linebackers, and you got four defensive linemen. It's my observation that really, functionally, we are a nickel-based team. And for years, I mean, for forever, teams would base out of a 4-3, out of a 3-4, and what they do in that 4-3 and 3-4 dictates how they behave in nickel. And nickel wasn't as used as much. And obviously the game has changed. And really, I think what we do in nickel dictates how we behave in our base defense. And it's there's always going to be compromises in the system. And I think those compromises are made in the base rather than the opposite. So, you know, I took a moment to kind of draw up some basic stuff. I'm here between hearings. And so if you could pull up page one. So
guys, let me tell you, he did this. This was a kind of a last minute thing. He pulled this together real quick. So it was impressive how fast he got it back over to me. So yeah, here we go. This is page one, correct?
Like, yeah. So look, so just like this can be viewed as nickel, it can be viewed as our base defense. So looking at the first one here, can you guys see my cursor or
no,
right?
No, but you're talking about the top one up here. I can.
Yeah. So look, so really what I'm drawing up there, and I'll take some time to kind of explain this one, and then this will carry over to the next one. So working from right to left, right? That J is what's called a jack, right? That's what I've described in prior posts and prior podcasts as our hybrid defensive end. This is the guy that it pre-aligns to the boundary of the field. So if you see on the top, there's an arrow going to the left. That arrow right there shows that the big field, the wide side of the field, to the left. We have our J to the right, to the short side of the field. This is the guy that's always going to be to the short side of the field. Why? Because that's going to be that's our hybrid linebacker. He's not truly a linebacker, so we want him covering less space. Again, Guidry using the college football hash marks to his benefit. Next, going to your tackle, right? So that tackle is, you know, what most football fans know what a three technique is. Three technique is your, I guess to put it in simple terms, is more of your like pass rushing defensive tackle going off to your nose. That should have been drawn in like a zero technique. I'm not good at drawing, obviously. And so that should be like a zero technique. That's your traditional big guy in the middle, nose tackle, teeth head up the center. And then going off to the E, which is the end, right? That end is your field defensive end. It's a guy that's an end, but he's kind of like a tackle, right? That's our Reuben Bain, right? A big, stout, run-stopping guy who we don't want in pass coverage, right? I don't want Reuben Bain, you know, covering the flat ever. So that's really what I described was a four-man line. And what I've drawn up for you guys here is a 50 front, a 3-4, right? And so that S, that dollar sign, is your star, nickel, Sam, could be any of those things. He's going to be, depending on personnel, that can be a DB or it could be a linebacker, right? So That's the overarching concept where we want to be playing a defense with hybrid players because it allows you to run multiple fronts. Now, going down to the second box, this just takes a step down here, right? Like if you just shift everyone over slightly to the left, right? What does that give you? That gives you a 4-3 under, right? Like this is old school Seahawks, Florida Gators when it was Charlie Strong over there, USC. I mean, these are like, this is like 4-3 under cover one. So, it looks almost exactly like a 3-4, but you have guys playing like in one gap, right? So, this is against two back. This is what we look like pretty often when we did bring in that Sam, and I'm going to talk about it more later, but Guidry is sort of masterful in figuring out what we're good at, right? And figuring out what we're not good at. Okay, it's super important, right? So going into the year, I think everyone was saying, hey, we're going to have trouble stopping the run. And I'm going to, explain why being able to play man coverage, being able to play man free, it allows you to get one extra guy in the box. So for the regular average fan, cover one, looking at this second box here, it's essentially outside leverage man, both corners are manned up. The dollar sign is manned up with the tight end. The F is a deep middle player. The B comes down to the box. The backers shift to the strength. And then there's three stacked players. That B last year for us was James Williams. That B for us in the future, maybe not immediately this year, but probably soon, is Zaquan Patterson. That B is your do everything. Linebacker, safety, corner. I mean, he's an absolute stud. That's what you need there. The Will and Mike shift over. There's three stacked backers, and there's two backs in the backfield in the eye, right? So those three backers are then going to deal off those two backs. If the backs split, the W is free. He becomes a rat, and so forth. So that's what allows us, to then play with an extra man in the box in nickel. So, yeah. And we'll get to that shortly. Looking down, the last two boxes, check out my post later today, guys. Hey, I'm going to explain why we're not a zone team, why we've been a man team, but this is how structurally we would have looked most of the year if we were like a quarters team, but we were not that. So let's go down to page two. All right. So I drew all four of these right here. Against your traditional 2x2 look. One of these slot guys could be a tight end. Doesn't really matter. What matters to me is the spacing. Let's look at the second box first. So second box shows a 2x2 set, and we're in nickel. It's sort of like a quarters look. And so really, when you're in zone, you kind of are in conflict with the B gap. So between the N and the J, that's kind of a problem, right? Where that gap is vacated. So if you were to compare where the W is in box number two compared to box number one, that W in box number one is literally in his B gap. He's sitting there, he's waiting. In box number two, that W is splitting the difference between the end and the slot number two to the boundary. So, at the end of the day, we got to be able to stop short screens and things like that. So it's puts that W in conflict in playing his B gap and in also playing a screen. Obviously, there's things you could do with the front, You know, there's, you know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart have developed techniques with that J right there, techniques of how to play the B and the C gap. But, you know, I don't want to get too far into that. But going back up, right, this is, you know, again, man free. This is the same thing that I described previously where that W and the M are double teaming that back right there. The back goes right, the W is free, and so forth. So, and then then you add your nickel, manned up on the slot, and then your boundary safety, that Zaquan Patterson type, is manned up on the boundary slot, right? He's manned up on the boundary slot. It's less space. Obviously, he's still man coverage, but he still has a sideline to use, which is a lot closer than to the big field. So we ran a ton of this last year, like a metric ton of this. And in my opinion, you know, were our cover guys great and all that? I mean, I don't think we had great corners. I mean, I think they were good. But I think Guidry wanted to do this more as a way to get an extra guy in the box to stop the run. I don't think we had the dudes to just line up in four down, maybe two gap that J, maybe two gap another spot and cover up one of the gaps and, you know, play zone. So, you know, there's the other aspect of, you know, cover one, right? It's the first year of Guidry's system. Guidry's a guy and I wholeheartedly believe in this, right? Where there's a few things you need in defense, but first before you could do anything else. And that's number one, to know your job and do your job. That's I mean, talk before the play, make sure that everything's okay, talk during the play. That's super important. Okay. And then two, run to the ball. And three, hit, tackle, right? I mean, it's if you don't have any of those things, it doesn't matter how well you draw it up, you're not gonna be any good. And so, you know, and Guidry didn't say this to me, you know, I'm just guessing, but when you make a conscious decision to go all in, not go all in, but go heavy into cover one, it's a self-adjusting defense where if you're playing zone and you get certain formations, you get, you know, have trips checks and there's a bunch of, you know, and then front checks to make sure that, you know, that the gap integrity works. In cover one, it's pretty simple. You just line up. Just line up. And if your guy's not eligible, blitz. I mean, it's really, really, really simple. And so looking at the third box here, right, this is similar to what I drew in the first box, but we have a trip set to the field. You know, again, self-adjusting. That B, who was on the, you know, to the boundary, comes over to the other side of the field. And it's easy, right? There's nothing special. It's really the point of what I'm trying to say and what I'm going to be posting on the forum here pretty soon is we are on paper a 4-3 base team, but functionally we're nickel and the way that we behave in nickel dictates what we do in the base. So, let's go to the third page. Let me see. Okay. Right. So this goes back to what I wanted to talk about. All right. This is nickel personnel. And this is the same personnel grouping can do all these things. So we just spoke about, the first box. This is like, you know, like an old school 50 front, you know, like a 3-4 look. And again, the J's defensive end, he's a hybrid player. T is your pass rushing defensive tackle, nose tackle. End is your run stopping end. He's going to play either a C or B gap. That J is going to play either a C or D gap, right? So, that's you're limiting the situations in which your guys will be in the wrong position. So next, the second box. This is, you know, it's a form of a bear front, right? It's you know, what Guidry was doing last year, what kind of got me up in arms. If you recall, like that first podcast we did, like I made a post on the forums, I'm like, this guy is doing great stuff, like playing this bear front. It solves gap integrity problems, like I was talking about before. That's a whole other conversation. But just the point of what I'm saying is we have the same, you know, four-man line of personnel playing another odd front. So same thing, you know, as in box number one, but it's condensed. And then that will, that's playing in a 30 stack, comes down to play, like a C gap, right? And so this is also why, you know, I believe that will position, those sort of body types that we're getting, and the skill sets we're getting and the body types that we're getting that will position, in my opinion, we're trying to make that into another hybrid position where you see a guy like Cam Pruitt, mm-hmm. Rocked up, twitchy guy, long, you know, we got a bunch of good long guys playing linebacker now. So that's a guy that'll allow us, a guy that maybe doesn't look exactly like the Jack, but it's kind of like a smaller version of it, and can play on the edge. It's a guy that can rush the passer, can play, in coverage to the field if necessary, and things like that. So, again, four man line personnel going to the third box. This is your traditional stack, you know, where, you know, we saw Guidry turn to this, and I made a post. I said, look, like people are saying we switched to the 3-3. I mean, we really didn't. We were doing the same thing we were always doing. The problem is that we ran out of guys to play the J position, so we had to put a linebacker there because we had nobody else. Right. You know what I mean? And that's another problem that we spoke about too, was that, you know, that Texas A&M week, we talked about, you know, depth issues, and it showed. And again, Guidry was able to do it. So, and then the last box, you guys can hit pause. That's just your general, 4-2-5 look, a 4-3 over front, with the G at the nose. That's just like a like your standard. Okay. Now let's go to the last page. It's kind of the last thing that I wanted to point out before we talk about some other stuff, but,
you really look like a coach with the handwriting here.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I'm here like, trying to rush this in, and I went to another lawyer's office, got his whiteboard. I'm like, give me your whiteboard, I need it.
Well, you know? I mean, listen, how many great plays have been written up on a napkin at a restaurant, right?
So yeah, exactly. And if you don't write it down, like, it's poof, gone forever, right?
Right.
So, all right, this is the same field pressure. I took every front that we got from the previous page, and I drew the exact same zone pressure. So if you guys recall the do you remember the pick six that that Cam Kitchens had against I think it was Virginia, maybe?
Yeah.
Did he have pick six? Yeah.
I think it was against Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what this was. Cam's playing the F, and he rolls to the field late. James Williams goes to the deep middle, and then the nickel blitz with an end scoop, and then this Mike came into B. It's like a fire zone, right? There's three deep, three underneath, and this defensive end, he's always your boundary seam curl flat player. And it's the same exact blitz from multiple different looks, and it's always the same guy doing the same job. So you can present something unique, and it ends up being the same thing. For us, it's simple. For them, it's complicated. And so this is just just an illustration. If you guys want to pause it and see, you know, it's the same concept. It's an overload pressure coming from the field. This is like, you know, elementary blitz. Everyone runs this. And, you know, it was successful for us last year.
So, Nick, before I let you go here, I mean, awesome breakdown from you. I mean, again, this is, I guess the idea of this is just because they come out in a certain look doesn't mean that's how it's going to function on the field.
Yeah, right. I mean, like it's the way that they've set it up is they want to create and develop certain positions that can do multiple roles, and it sort of allows us to do what we need to do. Like I don't think Guidry is like a like a cover one guy. That's like all he does. I think he's gonna run what's best for us and sort of shape the system.
Now, I wanted to ask you about one guy in particular because he's going to be joining the show after this. Popo Aguirre. You know, we talked about some of these long, rangy guys, right? And he's one of those young players who came in. And, you know, I think everyone's excited about what he can bring in terms of his pop that he's going to bring at that position, right? Where does he kind of fit into some of the stuff we've been talking about today?
Yeah, and it's funny, the first thing I was going to say is pop. Like that's the kind of guy that he is. He's a traditional Mike to me. He's a Mike through and through. Seems like a real sharp kid. You know, we spoke about before, you know, that Mike linebacker's got to be smart. You know, super instinctive and all those types of things. And I'm sure that Popo is going to learn Mike and Will both. And I don't think he's a Sam. You know, I think he can play Mike and the Will. But that's a guy that, you know, is going to really benefit from a Kiko coming back, you know, where, you know, I think if Popo stepped into his shoes right away, I think it might have been a challenge for him. I mean, just because that position is so physically and mentally demanding, you know, every play you got to bring it. You know, like if not, you're going to get flattened by someone who weighs double your weight, you know?
Right. No, and I think he's a guy who brings a ton of energy to the field. You hear it in the interview that we did with him. He's just has a, you know, an infectious personality. So, you know, I'm excited for him this year. Another guy, Zaquan Patterson, you mentioned him in the discussion just a few moments ago. When I was at practice yesterday, man, just seeing him out there, the first thing that comes to mind is rangy. I mean, he just looks rangy, and he looks ready to go, right? I think with James Williams, there was a lot of projection with him, right? You see the physical tools, and I still think in the right system at the next level, he can be, a really dangerous player. But with Zaquan, it's already on film. It's not projecting with him, right? Not the same, you know, he's not as tall as James Williams, right? But you see it on film with him.
So Zaquan to me is like a coach's dream. You know, I coach safeties in a 4-2-5, and I wish I had three of him. You know what I mean? Like to the foundry, to the field, and I'll put him at nickel also. And my only concern with him is you don't want to have a true freshman playing safety. And, you know, maybe it's a situation where the coaches can go, you know, or I'm not sure if they're permitted to do this, but coaches or the other players can go all in on just making sure that he learns everything as best he can. It's just when you make a mistake at safety, it's usually 6 points. So, you know, I think he can do everything. He's your boundary safety. He's your do-everything guy, play in the box, play on the edge, play in deep coverage. He can do it all. I just want to make sure that he's not put out there too early.
Yeah, you use the term in conflict a lot, right? I guess you want to limit the situations where he's put in conflict and has to make, at least early on, right? He's going to have to develop into that, but probably going to be somewhat of a role where when he's on the field, he's there to do one specific thing on that play.
Yeah, right. I think it's maybe, you know, like he comes in maybe on goal line, comes in on third down maybe. And yeah, that's a good point. And that's something that we used to do pretty often is limit their role, or when they're in there, limit the play calling.
Right. Yeah, I think that's been like a frustrating thing for us fans to watch over the last 10, 15 years, right? You hear about these young guys and they don't really get the opportunities. It's understandable that coaches can't always trust them to play a large role, but you'd like to see them eased in there. And it seems like Mario has had no issue with doing that.
Yeah, you know, he's here now, right? I mean, if he came like a few weeks, you know, before the start of the season in summer, I would say hell no. But he's here already, so, you know, let's see what he could do.
Nick, awesome stuff from you. Canes fans, check out his work on Canes Inside. And I know you also have, you know, something that you'll be launching of your own as well. So Canes fans, stay tuned for that. All right, Canes fans, excited to be joined now on the Canes Insight podcast here with Canes Connection, Raul Aguirre, linebacker at the University of Miami. Raul, how you doing today, man? Appreciate you joining the show.
Man, thanks a lot, man. I'm doing great, man. Had a great week of spring ball so far. Getting ready to finish it off tomorrow with a little scrimmage at the end. But everything is going great, man. We're looking very good as a team, and I'm just excited to see how this, you know, spring goes.
And then obviously the big news that broke, your position coach, Coach Derek Nicholson, got announced that he's going to be now the co-defensive coordinator. So a big move for him. Just talk about your feelings about that for Coach D. Nick and your relationship with him, how it's really grown since your recruitment.
Man, D. Nick, Derek Nicholson, that's my guy, man. I'm very happy for him, of course, but I'm not surprised. I've definitely seen it coming. He's an outstanding coach, man. A lot of knowledge since I've been here. Actually, I've never seen a coach as like being able to correct someone in every like single thing. Like, he knows everything, you know what I'm saying, across the border, on and off the field. So I definitely am happy to be a part of a great coach like that. And as I'm still playing for him, well, as he got this new promotion, I'm very excited to see what he comes up with, because he's very excited. Actually, a funny story, I'm gonna jump into it early. We played Madden, that's a little video game, and it's the first time I've seen it. He dang near beat me. Like, I'm if people don't know, I'm not a cocky person, very humble, but I'm one of the top people in the video game. I've been good at it for a while. And they called me out to play him, and he almost beat me. Like, he was beating me the whole game. So he's very, I say that to say, man, he's very knowledgeable on all levels, football, all around. So I'm just very happy for him, man, point blank period.
Did he get you with his stick work, or was it just like,
man? No, that's the thing. Because you know, nowadays, us young cats, we use the stick work and all that.
Yeah.
He was all, I would just say, basically
pre-snap,
just scheming and all that, like, you know, said plays, defense. He knew every single thing. I'm like, bro, you don't even play, you have four kids. Why, like, how are you that good? But he's good. And he's just very, it just shows his knowledge before the game. He don't need his sticks. He knows football. And once again, it's helped me on the field, most definitely, because I'm able, anything I have a problem with, shoe, this and that, he's able to help you and redirect anybody on the team.
Let's talk a little bit about that linebacker room that you're a part of, and Coach D. Nick leading the way. It's a lot of you young guys, a lot of you dogs who came in these last couple classes who can run, are long, can hit. And then you, of course, have the veterans in that room, Francisco Malagoa being one of them, leading the way there, right? I mean, just talk about that room as a whole and how you feel things stand right there.
Man, linebacker room, I feel like it's very special, especially being under, you know, once again, you bring up Derek Nicholson. He does a lot of stuff to connect us. Even when we came in last year, it was a major difference, as in from the past when I heard how Miami was, it's changed already. You know what I'm saying? He's just us players, we connect more, like, and it's so much talent around. Like, the 23 class that just came in, actually, man, I don't like to say too much, but man, it's so much talent. You know, you got Bobby, you got me, you got Marcellius, you got Malik sometimes, you know what I'm saying? He's in an edge room too, but you have a lot of players, you know what I'm saying, the 23 class, Spencer. it's majority of us, and we're all talented. We all can run. We're all fast. You can use every one of us for every single thing. So I'm very just excited. But most importantly, I think we're all knowledgeable, and we want to see each other do great. And I think that plays a big role when you have a team full of athletes, because, you know, you don't want nobody to be selfish. And none of us are selfish. We all stand to get extra work. So, man, let's just go say it's very exciting to be a part of a room like that. And when you talk about veterans, you know, being on a guy like Kiko, it's funny because when I came in last year, I tell some of the freshmen this now, you know, Haynes and Bobby, I tell them now, like, my thing last year was just learning some of the plays. And, you know, coming from high school, unless you're at a powerhouse high school, is learning the plays it can be a little trouble sometimes. And with me, I adjusted very well to it due to just asking Kiko. You know, that guy knows, he's a man. He knows everything on the defensive side, all across the border. So just asking questions, and this was starting off last year, and now I got it. You know what I'm saying? So just asking questions and being able to and even Wesley Bassaint, you know what I'm saying, with talent, being able to ask these guys and they coach you up. And once again, it's all love, man. You know, none of these guys are scared for them to get the spot, took or not. And it's all, and D-Nick does a good job of making sure we're all hungry and we're all getting better each and every day.
So Raul, you know, I was out there first day, full pads. And everybody was excited, but it seemed like you had a little extra pep in your step. You were out there with the starters. You were popping pads. We talked about you on the podcast and how you looked and how you were really making a lot of plays. Tell me that feeling of, you know, you were a freshman. Okay, now you're a sophomore. You're in the starting lineup, putting on the pads and hitting people. How are you feeling right now about where you stand at the University of Miami?
I'm just going to say two words, man. It's time. You know what I'm saying? When I say that, I mean, like, man, not just for me, for all of the freshmen, you know what I'm saying? All these guys are off the side of the ball, good player. I like to say Robbie, my dogs, all of us. It's time for us to step up now, and it's showing. For some of you guys seen it, some of you guys haven't seen it. It's time for us to really put our shoe in the ground, you know what I'm saying, and stamp on it. But for me specifically, man, just being, it's exciting, man, to be out there and be my brothers, you know, since a kid. Once again, seven brothers and sisters down here in South Miami. I moved to Georgia when I was a little bit by myself. I moved to Georgia when I was like 9, and Miami's always been a team, my favorite team, you know, since I was a kid. I played the NCAA game, and I was just a big Miami fan no matter what. Like, nobody could tell me nothing bad, whatever. So just being able to, man, walk through these doors and being able to be out there, man, you know, very blessed. I'm just definitely excited to be able – every day, you know, every day you wake up, I'm excited to be out there and be able to play with my brother. So that's where the energy comes from.
Now, listen, I'm Cuban descent. Peter's Cuban descent. Before the show, you hit him with the – you rolled the R's with him when you were pronouncing your last name, hit him with the accent, corrected him. Yeah. So we are all excited to have a Cuban linebacker in the room. Yeah. Tell me, just – you grew up in Miami a little bit, also in Georgia. Tell me about your connection to your Cuban heritage.
So my dad is Cuban. For those of you that didn't know, my mom's black. My dad's side, they all stay down here. So actually, it feels so good. I connected more with, like, my dad's side of the family, of course, Cuban, you know, down here. And it's just great, man, to be around my family. And my abuela, she's always cooking for me right here down the street. You know what I'm saying? Because as far as my original family, they stay in Georgia. So being able to take that step and come back home, you know, my mother and dad grew up down here. You know, they wanted to make sure I was, you know, safe and most importantly, had somewhere to go get a home cooked meal. You know what I'm saying? But just being able to be around my family, man, it's great. You know how we are. We're very much loving and a lot of my cousins and, you know, nephews and stuff like that. I've never, you know, necessarily that it's just great to know that they have somebody doing something good.
What's your go-to dish from your grandmother?
Oof. I'll say it's funny because it's not too – people. A lot of people don't think it's too big, but for me, boliche and rice.
Of course.
I like it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So one thing I noticed watching your film, Raul, when you were in high school is that you played a little running back too. And I talked to linebacker coaches, and they say they love linebackers that played running back because, you know, they got the vision for the holes just – the other side, right? So playing running back, how'd that help you play linebacker at this level?
Tremendously, man. It helped me. You kind of just seeing the same thing. And like I said, I watch a lot of football. A great player I like just look at nowadays is Raekwon Smith, and he played running back, I think, in high school too. And you could just see his feet. It's something about the feet, how they move. You know what I'm saying? It's like the running back takes a right step, the linebacker takes a right step. That's how it should be. But it's something about it, man. And that's how I kind of try to mirror myself too, because I mean, you play running back, you're kind of making the same movement. You're seeing the same stuff that they're seeing. You're thinking, you know what I'm saying? You see that this gap is open, but you're going to make them think to that. Same thing on a linebacker standpoint. So I'm very happy that I actually played a little bit of running back. Linebacker, I'd rather hit people, you know, and surprise somebody. Not surprise, but, you know, get the ball in my hand and then they come out. So I'm very excited that I played a little bit of running back.
A few more things before we let you go here, Raul. Let's talk a little bit about the Canes connection. Of course, this interview in conjunction with the Canes connection. Just talk a little bit about the opportunities that you've been provided in your time working with them.
Oh, man, Canes connection. Tremendously. It's been, since I've been here, it's been the best thing for me. Just being able to, because actually, if I haven't mentioned this, when I was younger, kind of how I got, my nickname is Popo, and how I got that nickname, I was basically at a daycare in Hialeah, and it's a long story. I'll tell some fans that soon. But basically, that nickname stuck with me. And when I went to Georgia, I was like 10, 11. I played Little League ball. And I came back down here and played a lot of like Mark Fletcher. I played Chris Johnson. They be telling me. And I was like very good at Little League. So being able to just keep them connections, as in, like, you know, you're coming back to Miami. And now we're all with Canes connections, and being, you know, have dinners and play certain games and certain greets together. It's just wonderful, man. I love that we're able to, I really connect with my teammates. You know what I'm saying? I just love as far as connection and just everything. So it's been very helpful for me being able to connect with the players, I would say, most importantly.
So I got to ask that follow up. Can you tell us a story about how you got the nickname Popo, or is that for another day?
No, I'll tell you another day.
All right.
Well, I'll ask this then as another follow up. Then tell me about some of those Little League games against these guys. I mean, were you laying the hammer? I mean,
I was the man. I'm putting it like that. I don't like to do that, but I played against Reuben Bain. I played against, when I first came up here, Najalik was right up in my face. That game was still on YouTube. They all played for Miami Garden Ravens. And I played against Ruben Van, Najalik, Kelly. Lights out, it's at, you know, different schools now. And a lot of big-time players. And I'll say Mark Fletcher was a man. He's always been a man. He wasn't as big. I was a big, I was 5'10", and I've always been 5. You know what I'm saying? We were young like that, 12. But Mark Fletcher, man, that was a man. My team beat him. I did. He was at Plantation. I came down from North Carolina. But that was just because my coach, my Little League coach, played is from down here as well. So he wanted to bring us back to play all these good teams. And, of course, you know, the motto of it is that Florida has the best ball, most people will say. So we wanted to come down here and beat. And we beat everybody's team except for Reuben Bain's team. So, yeah, they were really good. Najalik and them, Goom Squad. So, yeah, a lot of good memories, man. But most importantly, it's just being able to connect with all these players. That's the biggest thing, man, and see each other years down the road and be able to say, man, I remember we used to play this, and now we're on the same. Look how it worked. We're like, Mark Fletcher told me when I first got here, look at it now. Now we're on the same team, because he was a man on his team. I was a man on my team. And my team beat him, but he was man. And our dads knew each other since we were kids. And now they see each other. And now I seen his dad yesterday. I called, that's my aunt. Aunt, what's up, man? So just being able to connect with these players later down the road, it shows more than just football. And when you go out to go to war, that's who I want to go out to war with. People I know that that's about it. You know what I'm saying? About the action.
So listen, let me put on your, before we let you go, put on your scouting hat for a second. You got your little brother, Markel, 2026 prospect. What can you tell us about his game and what we should expect when he gets recruited now?
Oh, man. I'm going to just say it like this, man. As far as a player like that, I'm going to be honest. Because he always watched me. You know what I'm saying? Watched me and did everything I did. And I was always hard on him. and told him, like, you know, which I'm supposed to be, man, you're not doing this good enough. But it's sometimes what, because I played my freshman year. Funny story, I played my freshman year, my senior year, he was a freshman. And when I was a senior, which was last year, he played freshman year. And one game, I've never done anything or got close to it. He had three block punts, two of them picked up and took back, and it was a pretty decent team, and had an interception. That's not even close to the stats he had his freshman year, but just talented player, man. And I'm excited to be able to help him out and all that. But just I think when it comes to, because my brothers, I have two of them, we're very much intelligent when it comes to the game, but the talent level for him is very much unique. It's different. He can catch the ball, he can run the ball, he can hit. He's 6 foot, 185, and he's actually like my height. I don't think the 6 foot. I think 6'1". He's 6'1", running a 4.45, and he can hit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to, and I'm telling him to just keep working. And he has that eagle to keep working. So we'll see where that goes. But just know it's a monster right now.
Is Coach Guidry trying to get you to recruit already, or how's that going?
Yeah. He mentioned he met him and all that. But Markel, he's kind of just more so right now, just looking at his options. All that. You know, I'm gonna bring him here, and I'm gonna bring him here. But he, you know, right now he's playing that little game. And he's checking everybody out. We're gonna see what he does. But I'm gonna bring him here. I'm gonna make sure he come here.
I got one more question before we let you go.
You're good,
Raul. Obviously, the NCAA game is coming out again this summer. You said that you played it before. When the game comes out, are you maxing your stats out right away when you get the game, or are you letting it ride with what they give you?
That's a good question, man. I actually didn't think of that one. I think I'm going to let it ride. Everybody's talking about maxing theirs out. Maybe I might max it out soon, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to let it ride. I'm going to play the game. How everything is played, you know what I'm saying? And just be excited to play, because I used to play it when I was a kid. You know, I have seven brothers and sisters and three brothers and four sisters. So me and my brothers, we found everything compete. We pick up a baseball. My dad was a baseball player. He played pretty good. He mirror ball. Mirror ball is, you know, he's very tight with me and my dad. And he tells me yesterday, man, keep giving my linemen that work. You know what I'm saying? Because I like, you know, talk trash and bring energy to him. But just to say, my dad was a big athlete, and where all his sons are competitive, you know what I'm saying? And we, everything we do, we like to compete. So, I'm going to keep everything the same.
Definitely. Well, Raul, it was great getting to know you a little bit today again here with the Canes Connection. Appreciate your time on today's show, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me.